Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome to the Bradley Wiggin Show by Eurosport, the home of cycling, sponsored by Lacca. I'm Graham Wilgos, and Brad, on the rest day podcast, we should look forward to Tuesday's Stage 16, into the Vercors and some deceptively difficult climbs. 164 kilometres from La Tour du Pin to Villard de Lans. It looks like one for the breakaway, with one category, one climb, two Cat 2s, one Cat 4 and one Cat 3 to finish. How are you feeling as a GC rider going into this part of the race with that stage ahead of you and then stage 17, the Queen stage, to follow?
It's just you're getting into the last knock-ins of the race now, really, and it's just important to keep your focus. Although it's a rest day, you don't want to have too much of a rest day. Like I said, for the main GC guys, the likes of Primoz and that, we'll probably ride 2 hours, ride a few efforts as well, just to keep sweating and stuff, but not that way you can still eat a lot of food and things, you know, but lots of riders will just have a complete rest day. It's important to keep the routine at this stage, keep the body ticking and keep the focus, really, because it's gonna be a tough day. Well, not a decisive day, I don't think, for the GC guys.
No.
But the day after, it's just about kept ticking down the days. You've got Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, there's 4 days, and then Friday night, the minute you get off the bike Friday night, you get into TT mode for the day after, TT day, and then Paris. So you've forget Paris. The TT day will take care of itself. So you've got 4 days left in this Tour de France, really, to make a difference.
How's Primoz Roglic going to be feeling going into the rest day? Because it's gone about as well as it possibly could for him up to this point, right?
They've not put a foot wrong the whole race, that team. Primoz is cool, calm, collected. He'll look forward to the rest day. I imagine he'll see his family, his kid. And I just think he'll be focused on... It's like another stage race now. Another 4 days, then the time trial, then Paris. So... he's got it sewn up, really. Well, sewn up. I mean, his closest ally is his countryman, Pogacar. But I can't see him really losing that much time to Pogacar on the time trial, unless he has a dreadful day. But as we've seen, you know, crashes, anything like that, something could affect the race. I can't see Pogacar keeping up this strength over the next week.
I mean, this is where the race goes over 2,000 metres. So
at
stage
21
17.
Years of age, I mean, he's been a revelation, has he, really? He already was at the Volta last year, but, I mean, it remains to be seen, but... it's for Primoz to lose now.
Yeah. Stage 17 will be the hardest summit finish of the race, and you've got two all-category climbs in there as well. How's Ineos and how's Dave Brailsford, and in particular Egan Bernal, going to be looking at this last week? What can they salvage from it? And are they going to be looking for stage wins now? Are they going to be looking to, look, you can still make the top, you can still make the podium?
I think they're going to have to try and win stages, aren't they? Because they're a long way off the podium now.
8 minutes behind.
I can't see how they can salvage anything in GC. And what is the podium to them, having won the Tour the many times they have? They've got to go for stage wins. Who can? The only one who possibly could is Kwiatkowski, because he's in great shape. You know, they haven't got anything from this Tour so far, have they? Other than a couple of days in a white jersey.
With the last time they came away with nothing, 2011, when you crashed out, what was the feeling?
13, wasn't it?
What was the feeling then?
14.
Oh, well, it was 14. They came. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I crashed out.
But they looked like they could win it in 2014, though.
Yeah.
And it was only whereas 2010, I suppose, really. 2011, you were obviously favourite.
Yeah.
But 2010 was really the last time that.
Yeah. It was nothing, was it? It was just a poor tour. But then Gio had a couple of days in white that year.
Yeah. The young rider.
Look. Yeah. It happens, you know, it's hard to stay on the top every year, isn't it? And this year they've just not got it right. I don't know what's happened there. For a team that's so performance orientated and such planning that goes into their seasons, it's just not worked for them for one reason or another. And yeah, had it been football, Dave would have been, you know, Dave be out. You know, wouldn't it?
Well, we look forward to seeing those banners on the planche.
No, but that's how football works, isn't it? But Dave's been here before, they'll replan. Restructure, and I think that they'll come back next year with a full lineup, and you know, with it being the world going back to normal as well, I think, you know, that would help.
Yeah, and he'll have to do it without Chris Froome, of course.
Yeah.
Moving on to Israel's Startup Nation next season. Ola Shenoui caught up with him to talk about whether he's keeping up with the tour in his absence and how he's faring this week at Tirreno Adriatico.
So, Chris, you've just finished stage 6 of Tirreno Adriatico. How's it going for you?
Hey, Ola. Yeah, it's going well. It's going well. I'm enjoying being back in the peloton again and getting some big miles here over in Tirreno. It's sort of 200k stages every day, so it's good racing.
We know that you weren't where you would have wanted to be for the Tour de France. Are you where you would want to be right now, regardless, in Tirreno? Are you going as you would have wanted to?
Yeah, 100%. I'm starting to feel definitely better and better. I think through, obviously, the whole recovery process, and then for that to have been followed up by the whole lockdown, not being able to sort of get back into racing, I really felt as if I was missing that speed, that sort of race speed and that rhythm of being in the race. And I think being here in Tirreno now, I can feel that's definitely coming back. The more racing I'm doing, I'm feeling more comfortable on the wheels, and definitely things are heading in the right direction.
We saw that you had a bit of a crash on stage 5 with about 50 kilometres to go, I think it was. You ended up losing almost 30 minutes and being around about 1 hour down. That's not where we're used to seeing you, Chris, is it?
No, I mean, obviously, I mean, if I'm not here for GC, there are days where I'll do a job, and once I've done my job, I'm not going to keep going as hard as I can to the finish. So then it's you sit up, you pull the plug, and you try and recover the best you can for the next day. And yesterday I did take a bit of a tumble, 50 kilometers to go. The roads were really sketchy, left, right, left, right. And I hit a patch of gravel in a corner and just lost my front wheel. But yeah, took an age to try and get a spare bike. And just once I did, I just, that was it for the day. Just cruised to the finish with the Gruppetto and looked after myself the best I could.
Given where you are in your recovery and where you've come from, do crashes like that almost hurt all the more? Because I guess you've probably gone through a period of feeling incredibly vulnerable, and I don't mean physically, you know, more emotionally, mentally. Is it harder for you to take a tumble now, or have you gone the other way and become more hardened to it?
I think I actually jinxed myself. I mean, it was that morning. I think I was just thinking to myself, it's interesting. I've been back racing, back on the bike for a good sort of 8-9 months, and I haven't crashed yet. It's going pretty well, and yeah, I trust that to happen. But yeah, it was fine. I mean, I literally just hit the ground, grazed myself a little bit, and bounced back up. But I don't. Thankfully, I think because I obviously don't remember anything from the crash, I don't have any kind of lingering sort of fears on the bike, or I mean, it just feels good to be back racing. I love it. I love being in the bunch. I love that sort of having to fight for that position again, and just being amongst it, really.
Chris, I don't know how honest you feel you can be with us, but how much do you miss being at the Tour de France?
I definitely miss being there. I mean, watching it now, I mean, it's great to watch. I love watching as a fan. I get excited watching the stages, the finishes, whether they're sprints or GC days. I mean, it's great to watch, and especially knowing all the sort of main characters personally makes it a little bit more interesting to watch as well, because you know the politics and the dynamics between people. But certainly for myself, I mean, I do miss being there. But I think the most important thing for me right now is to make sure that when I do go back there, I'm going to be 100% again and ready to fight for another title. I don't just want to be going there and just suffering to finish stages. That's not going to do me much good at the moment. So I think this approach now, focusing on other sort of blocks of racing and blocks of training, and hopefully get myself ready for the Vuelta, hoping that it all goes ahead this year. It'd be fantastic just to get a Grand Tour in the legs this season and take me through to next season.
So what have you made of what you've seen at the Tour de France then, Chris? There has been so much talk about Jumbo-Visma being a more dominant team. And, you know, in the years that you've won, we're so used to seeing Ineos Grenadiers, as you now are, leading the pace at the front and dominating the race and almost putting a stranglehold on it. It's very different this year. What have you made of that from afar?
It is a very different race this year. And I think everyone has to keep in mind sort of what the build-up to the Tour de France was this year. I mean, we didn't have that much racing coming into the Tour. A lot of the peloton, I'd say over 50% of the peloton, was stuck in lockdown on turbo trainers for a few months prior to the Tour. Some people were out training on the roads. And it's interesting to see. So obviously from the group of GC riders, who was actually allowed out training and who was stuck inside. And obviously the Slovenians were allowed out and they seem to be flying. I mean, Roglic and Pogacar, really, they seem to have a hold on the race at the moment. Pogacar seems to be lighting the race up at any opportunity he gets. And Roglic seems to be really dominant with the Jumbo-Visma team. I mean, they're controlling everything really well. It remains to be seen if they can keep it up for 3 weeks. That's going to be the challenge for Roglic, I think. I mean, typically in the past, we have seen him tail off towards the end of Grand Tours. And certainly the tail of this Tour de France is brutal. They've got the Gran Colombia stage tomorrow, and then they've got, after the rest day, probably what I'd call the Queen stage. Can't quite remember the name of the finish now, but it's, I think stage 17. They've got a massive, massive uphill finish there. And then obviously the time trial up Planche de Belfie on stage 20. So there's some heavy GC days right at the end of the race, and it's gonna be interesting to see if Roglic can hold on to it. Egan seems to be having sort of ups and downs. It's quite difficult to tell exactly how he's feeling at the moment. I mean, I'd like to think, like last year, he can really come right in the last week and make a difference there, especially when it gets harder. But from a minute down, it looks like it's going to be pretty difficult for him to make a difference against Roglic.
So, Chris, who would you say is looking like the favourite to win the Tour de France? And it sounds like you think if he can hold on, then this is Roglic's Tour to lose. Is that right?
It's definitely Roglic's Tour to lose. I'd agree with that. I mean, I'd love to see Egan win. But at the same time, I think Pogacar's, he's not far off either. I mean, he seems to be the freshest out of all of them. He just seems to be at ease all the time. It's amazing to watch him race.
If you were in your best form, if we were seeing Chris Froome, as we know Chris Froome can ride, how would you be taking on Primoz Roglic and Tadej Pogacar?
Oh, that's, I mean, it's a hard one. And there's no answer to that. You just, any little opportunity that presents itself, every GC stage, you just have to push the limits. And wait for cracks to appear. And if they don't, then they've won. Clear as that.
Watching the level of racing that we're seeing at the Tour de France and the teams and how things are changing, I guess, at this year's Tour, how confident are you, Chris, about winning another Tour de France?
I mean, I'm not getting too carried away with that thought right now. I mean, I'm just going to keep, cracking away with my training, with racing, away from the Tour, and keep building towards next year. And obviously there are no guarantees in sport, but I mean, I've obviously got a massive will to be back there next year, and certainly with a new team, a bit of a new challenge in that sense. I'm hoping I'll be back to my best next year.
How important is this year's Vuelta in that respect then, to show that you are on the right track and that you're building in the right way?
I mean, the Vuelta is definitely a key part of that. But I don't think the Vuelta is necessarily the be-all and end-all of that either. I mean, I think what's most important is I get to the end of the season knowing that I've made the progression that I've needed to get back to my old self again. So that I can start next season really with a clear slate and get straight back into it.
And what about Geraint Thomas then? He's doing remarkably well at Tirreno Adriatico, building towards the Giro, which is sooner, of course, than the Vuelta. How do you rate his form at the moment?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, G's looking good. He's right up there. He's sitting third on GC, I think, at the moment, over here in Tirreno. With a short time trial to come, so hopefully he'll finish up on the podium here in Tirreno, which I think is perfect for him going into the Giro. Giro is going to be a tough race this year, different from other years, but three time trials in it, I think it really suits him well. But certainly against the guys he's racing against, I think he's got a great chance of winning it.
Chris, I'm going to be a little bit cheeky here because I think a lot of people have watched Ineos Grenadiers at the Tour de France and maybe wondered, I wonder what Chris Froome and Geraint Thomas could have done after all in support of Egan Bernal at the Tour de France. Do you and Geraint have that chat over dinner any evening and say, maybe we could have been useful there?
No, I mean, I think, oops, I can only really speak for myself, but I mean, I would have been more than happy to have gone to the Tour and helped as much as I could. But I think it made a lot more sense for me to not be under that sort of amount of pressure right now, obviously, with where I'm at, trying to get back to my old level. But yeah, I mean, it's really difficult to tell from an outside. I mean, I think obviously between myself and G, we've got a lot of experience. We've been racing the Tour for years now. We've won it 5 times between the two of us. So I would have liked to think we could have contributed in that sense in terms of helping the team. But I mean, at the end of the day, the Tour does come down to physical, the legs, having the legs. And that's what's going to be the difference at the end of the day. And will be the factor of if Egan can win or not. It's going to come down to how he's feeling in these last few days, GC days.
So you would have quite liked to play the support role. So was it more a team decision not to bring you then rather than a personal one?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think I could have played a role, but the team decided that was, not going to be the best thing for them and for myself personally.
Chris, best of luck with Tirreno Adriatico and with the road to the Vuelta. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me and for being so honest with that. It was fantastic. Thank you.
Cheers, Ola. Thanks.
And that brings us to the end of this episode of The Bradley Wiggins Show by Eurosport. Thank you to our sponsor, Lacca. Thank you, Brad. Ready for a rest day yourself, I think.
Yeah, I'm going to get out for a nice long run tomorrow.
Yeah, good. Enjoy it. We can follow you on social at Sir Wiggo.
Sir Wiggo.
I should add that you can follow Eurosport on Twitter at Eurosport_UK. Plus, you can find us on Instagram and Facebook. Thanks to our producer, Pete Burton. And finally, from me, Graham Wilgos, it's goodbye. If you've enjoyed the show, please do subscribe, share your thoughts, and rate us wherever you get your podcasts.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.